Okay, I want to say something to you just a minute before I start my teaching. This is Sunday morning, 11:13:22. You know, sometimes you wake up with the weight of the world on your shoulders. And the enemy's trying to get your mind to go to all kinds of places to get you into worrying and fretting about your life. And the Lord recently spoke to me and said, never give care about anything in your life. In that take no thought saying, cast all your care. And this morning the Lord said to me, he goes, anything that's coming against you, whatever it may be, look on the inside and you'll get a different picture. On the inside you're free. On the inside you're well. On the inside you are supplied. On the inside you is made unto you wisdom. So the enemy always attacks from the outside, of course. But we don't walk by the outside. We walk by the inside. So when you look inside, it's always the result you want. When you look on the outside, very seldom is it the one you want. That's why Satan uses his smoke screens to try to discourage you, to get you to quit, to get you to speak things that you don't mean. So that's the thing about when you learn to walk by faith, you have to be careful with your words, because as many people or yourself, it helps. It can also harm. Because when God says, yeah, you're to the place now where your words really will do something, you have to watch that you keep under wraps the words you say. So whatever you're going through, look inside. There is the true narrative. That's what's true. And I do. I believe that. Even when you read scriptures about the millennial reign, I don't know how it's going to all play out. But if you look at scripture, it's like because Satan is no longer there, then what God placed in the beginning just starts to happen. People don't age like they did anymore. Their youth is renewed. Anything that used to harm or hurt will no longer harm or hurt. That's the way I read it. I've read it many times to y'all too. So I want to encourage you with that today. Satan would put the weight of the world on your shoulders, of your world on your shoulders, or the whole world on your shoulders. But think about the song, I've got the whole world in my hands. I listened to something yesterday. Never heard of this lady. Diana Larkin was her name. You can tell she's a little tiny thing. And over the course of a couple of years, she went to heaven about 21 times, something like that. And so this particular, I just came across it. Phil had posted on his feed. It's called The War Room of Heaven. And she was an observer. She said, I stood behind one of the elders, and I don't know, the 24 elders in the throne. She said, I don't know who the elder was, but I came to love him because I would stand behind him. And sometimes I'd put my hands on his shoulders. And sometimes he'd pat my hand. Sometimes he'd turn around and speak to me. But what was going on? It was like a war room. And they were plotting the strategies for the intercessors and for the people of God to carry forth and to do. It was really amazing, the details in what she said, and everything was so positive. And he said the very last time she ever visited heaven, which was, I think, March, May this year, she said all the elders had cake in front of them. And they were all waiting. And she said, it was the first time I saw Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all present at the same time in the war room. They were waiting for something to happen so they could eat their cake. Like a sign of celebration. But there's a lot of details to what she said. And a lot of them had to do with strategies. This war room was Father. They were planning strategies. And the elders, they were taking counsel together. Just like our alliance is doing, sitting down at a table and they're working out the strategy of how they're going to do what they're going to do. It was really quite amazing. She'd just go in her sunroom where she does her broadcast, her podcast, And she would be in the throne room. And I guess she sees her angel because her angel would escort her. Sometimes it was instant. She was just there. Other times she'd go through the air. It's really amazing. Now, there's no doubt in my mind she's a prophet or a prophetic voice. But I just thought everything was about Father saying, don't worry. I'm not worrying. Nobody up here is worrying. They see the whole picture. They know it all. They're just handing out the strategies to execute here on the earth that they have settled and finished in heaven. The battle plan is coming from the general himself, and I don't mean the natural generals. I mean God himself to take out the enemy. And everything that this woman had to say was, all this evil will not be for us, but for them. I never picked up any way of any saint or anything. And she didn't talk about being raptured out. She talked about us taking our place of authority and speaking and praying as intercessors with our strategies. I know you're suffering. All of you are suffering today. So am I. This is part of what goes on in battle. This is part of what goes on when you're in the army. So let's try to look at it in the perspective that if we were called to active duty today to pick up arms and to have to engage the enemy, there would be casualties, right? There would probably be people that would be wounded. So we should not look at it any differently than that. Like President Trump, I'll take all these slings and arrows for you. Well, that's kind of what we're doing as frontline soldiers, as prayer warriors and intercessors. We're saying, Lord, we'll take all these slings and arrows for those that are still asleep. Those that don't have a clue. And that way we can look at this as a service to the Lord and not, oh, I just have to go. Instead of getting down in our thinking. The higher vibrations we have, and I mean our consciousness and everything else, the better off it will go and the better off it'll be, personally and for everyone else. Because the enemy feeds off fear and discouragement. Well, I just know what I'm going to do. Well, that's his playground, y'all. That's why he makes his messes, so you will get into speaking your words on stuff like that instead of, our God is greater. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I don't care what I see, what I feel. That's the truth. Okay, with that, the title of this is Moving Heaven, Changing Earth. We're going to investigate the subject this morning of intercessory prayer. After this morning, I believe you will see it like you've never seen it before. There are a lot of things in the body of Christ that are not directly addressed, and one of these is intercessory prayer. Not really, you know, that it's touched on. Intercessory comes under the helps gifts, the helps ministry. Since the Holy Spirit is the helper, then you can see just how important this ministry gift is to the body of Christ. This is 1 Corinthians 12:28, where it's mentioned. You know what? When you learn to turn aside and look inside and you walk by what's inside and not what's outside, then you can laugh right in the enemy's face. Say, I've got inside information. That inside information is the truth. Come on now, don't look so glum. This is good news, not bad news. All right, 12:28. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, and then gifts of healings, helps. There you go. Strong's help means relief. God puts people, places things on our hearts to intercede, to give them relief. All right, we're going to look at just a few biblical references where God did this. First one's in Luke 2:37 of intercessors. Luke chapter 2. Intercessors are not just New Testament, they're also Old Testament. 2:37. Well, let's start with 36. Well, really, let me look here. Let's go up. 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, and a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age, had lived with her husband 70 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. When they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city of Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with the wisdom and grace of God. And the grace of God was upon him. You know, there were people who knew who he was. The wise men. Anna, Simeon. They knew. And I'd be venture to say, they prayed for him. They continued to pray for him. They prayed him in his birth. There's been God's intercessors all through the Old Testament and up to present day that pray in God's strategies, praise in God's plans. All right, Luke 3:30. Wait a minute. No, I already read that. Okay. All right. Now I want to look at another one. This is Exodus 17:12, another example. Well, let's just start with verse 8 here. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go fight with Amalek tomorrow. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. It came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed, and when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hand was heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. So God had a strategy to cancel out Amalek. Moses was representing the people standing with the rod. Aaron and Hur came alongside to help him. This is what Billy Brim's ministry does. She's here to help the prayers. See, the intercessors get weary, and they step in like reinforcements to help the prayers. What? To pray in God's strategies. All right? Notice this about Aaron and Hur. They held up the arms of Moses. Notice they did not take his rod. Now, I've talked about this before, about intercessors becoming busybodies and thinking that we don't need you anymore. We've prayed and God's given us a revelation and you don't need to be here. No, they didn't take his rod. They supported him and gave him relief. Notice also they didn't fight with Joshua. Their part was to hold up the arms of Moses. Everyone had their part to play in the battle. Okay. Intercessors are like doctors, so to speak. They are sometimes very reclusive because they are on call 24/7. And it's up to the intercessor if they will heed that. Now, if you're a true intercessor, you know. All right, Daniel. Well, I'll tell you, I'd say Daniel was probably the one that stands out the most to me in the scriptures. Chapter 10, we're just going to read a couple of verses there for now. 10, 2, and 3. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. I bet he was ripe. What'd he do? He pulled aside and looked inside until he got the answer. All right? Daniel stood in the gap as long as it took to break through. I remember, I guess probably one of the first times I ever experienced this was during the Florida Chads, when it was like 6 weeks. And I remember praying in the Spirit just a whole lot during that time. And then one day I just had a note of victory and I quit praying. And that's when Bush got, which we realize now, we thought we were rooting for the good team. But anyway, no matter. I believe God's plan and His strategy was at work regardless. All right. God gives each intercessor assignments. They become watchers at times over ministers and ministries such as Aaron and Hur or over Moses. You could say they're like guards that watch the wall. They're keeping watch. The enemy's, you know, trying to come in or trying to do something. They stand and pray violently if necessary to meet the challenge. Just reading these books by C. Peter Wagner, there's different ones that talked about they would attack him as an apostle. The devil would try to take him out or do something towards him. And these intercessors, his intercessory board, would step up and pray. And one of them said, yeah, I feel every sling and arrow. They took it. They took the brunt of it. He said he did best in his ministry when he had intercessors praying for him. It made things so much easier. Instead of feeling like you're just trodden through cement 24/7. You could just do that for so long. All right, this is Matthew 11:12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. This is where the gates of hell are being bombarded. Moving heaven, that's a breakthrough. When we move heaven, we change earth. Period. Movers and shakers. Earth moving equipment, if you will. That's why they're so important to the apostolic team to be a part of it, because they're the excavators They're the builders. They got to get out all that bad stuff and implement good stuff. That's why the Lord, you know, told Danny to pray in an army of intercessors so God can bring the church back decently in order and raise up God's government. Where do you think the government's going to raise up out of? The church. The people do not answer to the government. The government answers to the people. Same way with the church. The church doesn't answer to the government. The government answers to the church. There's where we got messed up. All right. Matthew. Jesus told this to his disciples. This is Matthew 9:37. This lady in all these visitations, she told things that different things that the Lord told her to pray, like speaking into situations. You know, I may go back and listen to it again because it was very good. All right. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth labors into his harvest. Like, Lord, raise up your evangelists to take the gospel into the field. Apostles are also ambassadors of the gospel, commissioners of the gospel. All right. Each intercessor is unique. Focus on your uniqueness and not on a formula. I didn't say this about this lady to make you feel, well, I need to be that way. No, it was to encourage you. Because you're unique and don't try to be somebody else. Be who you are. And don't ever let anybody tell you that you aren't right. Let the Lord change you. Let the Lord speak to you if you're not right. He will let you know if you need to change something, if you need to do something. Seek first the kingdom when you pray and don't allow yourself and your concerns to get in the way. If all you do is spend time just on your woes, that's not intercession. Because intercession is for in step of another. It's like we're taking somebody else's place. God is calling upon you to stand in the gap for another. That's the purpose of it. Know your scriptures, for this is very valuable when you're linking up with the Holy Spirit in prayer. See, what word you know, the Holy Spirit can bring it up to you. I remember I probably read the Bible through one time. And I'm standing in a fellowship in Odessa in the middle of the service. And I see a vision. I'm standing right here and I see a stick hit the ground three times. And I thought, I know that's in the Bible. I can't even tell you today where it's at. Do you know?
Just in the, it's over in the
cans or... Yeah, it's somewhere in there. But it was about, the prophet had told the man to hit the ground. And he said he stopped it three times. And the Lord, he limited the Lord in just stopping three times. Because we were going through a recession. And the pastor had been talking about, don't let the recession thinking get in your mind. And so he said if you'd hit it at least five times, it could have been forever. You wouldn't have had any end to that. But because you were, you know, you just hit the ground three times, you limited me. So I remember Danny called the pastor up and told him what I had seen. And I think that you talk about taking you back. I'm sitting here, you know, I'm just standing here and here I see this and my eyes are wide open. I'm just sitting here and I see that hand, that stick hit three times. See, what you have put in spiritually, it's like you got a library inside of you. And when the Holy Ghost needs to talk to you about it, he can pull that scripture up. In fact, if you can find it, we'll go look at it. Some intercessors are given to dreams, warning dreams, like Joseph concerning Mary and baby Jesus. God warned him several times in dreams concerning that wicked Herod and his satanic strategy to stand where you stand, you have times when you will walk through the fire, so be prepared for that. As we've been teaching on this subject, we realize that God cannot, yes, cannot intervene unless we petition Him. We have to ask Him. All right? Did you find it? All right. Ezekiel chapter 11. Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up. It was verse 1. Well, let's just get back on track with this, Danny. Wait, let's just, well, I'll look it up later. It's all right. I'm at Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 1. Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me unto the east gate of the Lord's house, which looked eastward, and behold, at the door of the gate, 25 men, among whom I saw Jezaniah, the son of Azar, and Pelatiah, the son of Benaiah, princes of the people. Then said he unto me, Son of man, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in this city. What he saw them doing, we'll read this, they were bowing to the east to a strange god and was turning their back on the altar on God. This is chapter 11 of Ezekiel. Which say, it is not near, let us build houses. This city is the cauldron, and we be the flesh. Therefore prophesy against them. Prophesy, O son of man. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said unto me, speak thus, saith the Lord. Thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. See, Ezekiel's a vessel. He's going in judgment. Ye have multiplied your slain in this city. Ye have filled the streets thereof with the slain. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, your slain, whom ye have laid in the midst of it, they are the flesh. And this city is the cauldron, but I will bring you forth out of the midst of it. Sounds like the swamp, doesn't it? Sounds like D.C. Ye have feared the sword, and I will bring a sword upon you, saith the Lord God. And I will bring you out of the midst thereof, and deliver you into the hands of strangers, and will execute judgments among you. Ye shall fall by the sword. I will judge you in the border of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. This city shall not be your cauldron, neither shall ye be the flesh in the midst thereof, but I will judge you in the border of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. For ye have not walked in my statutes, neither executed my judgments, but have done after the manners of the heathen that are round about you. And it came to pass, when I prophesied, that Pelatiah, the son of Benaniah, died. Then fell I down upon my face and cried with a loud voice and said, O Lord God, wilt thou make a full end of the remnant of Israel? Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel, holy are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get ye far from the Lord, unto us is this land given in possession. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord. Do you understand? He's telling him to speak. Thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. We're going to read that here in a little bit. This is Revelation chapter 7. See, he scattered them all over. Once the Babylonian exile happened, they never came back until 1945, 1947, whenever it was, when the Rothschilds did what they did. That wasn't God. That was a swamp. They're always trying to force God's hand. They're always trying to do things ahead of time, trying to mess things up. They're going to mess up God's plan. And they shall come thither. And they shall take away all the detestable things thereof and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you. I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people. I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. Then did the cherubims lift up their wings and the wheels beside them, and the glory of the God of Israel was over them above. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city. He left the temple and stood upon the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. Afterwards the Spirit took me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God into Chaldea, to them of the captivity. So the vision that I had seen went up from me. Then I spake unto them of the captivity all the things that the Lord had showed me. So he went up in the Spirit. It sounds like Philip, kind of translated, into Chaldea to speak to those people, the captives in Chaldea. So these captives have been scattered all over the world. That's why Tia Teffy was a monarch in, I think, Scotland. That was Jeremiah's granddaughter. So all this has been scattered all throughout the nations, but God's going to gather them in his time. All right, Ezekiel had to speak for the Lord to act. We're going to keep looking at Ezekiel here. We won't read this today, but look in Ezekiel 8, 9, and 10. God showed him the swamp. He's looking in the hole in the wall, and he sees what they're doing. As an intercessory prayer group, we all need to be saying the same things. God hears us as one voice, like one band, one sound. All right, we're going to look at a few scriptures in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. As God's military, no different than natural military. All right, Matthew 18:19. And again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Those verses go together. They're not independent, even though they're used independently to say different things. But they're one thought here, I believe. Before the Berlin Wall fell, there were many intercessors from all over the world that had their part. I say part in bringing down the wall. How did it start? It's very interesting. Surely the Lord God, this is Amos 3:7, will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. This is how it started. This is how intercessors act. This is where the prophets bring forth the word of the Lord. This is Habakkuk. In fact, Amber, years ago, gave me a note, Habakkuk 2:3, and I still have it in my Bible. Well, let's just start with verse 1, though. It's too good. I will stand upon my watch. See, we're watchers. And set me upon the tower, and will watch to see that he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Just because we've been reading them since 2015 doesn't mean an absolute thing. It'll happen. All right. Do you see the power of intercession joining with apostles and prophets in building a spiritual house? They all go together. There can't be divisions and broken down the way it's been, because we don't get anywhere. All right. The prayer of agreement is one of the most powerful weapons we have in prayer. Jesus said that you could get just 2 to agree, nothing could stop it or would stop it. Just 2. Okay? I just read to you. Which one did I read? 16 or 18? 18? Okay. All right. When Jesus gets involved, look out. Something's going to happen. Yeah. Here's what agreement means. The head gummit. To be harmonious or symphonize. Now you understand the song. Make me a symphony. It may seem like it is just us, the three musketeers, but Jesus has joined up with us. You must realize that God has a whole orchestra of intercessors on board with his plan. Just picture a symphony orchestra. Hundreds of instruments are playing, each different instruments, but all in harmony. The conductor calls up each instrument section to come in on their cue. God is the conductor, and we are stepping up on cue to do our part in this symphony. When you look at it this way, you'll be able to see the whole picture and realize that you are not alone. God's doing this all over the world, not just in Odessa, Texas. Now you can see how important. If you've ever watched an orchestra play, that's why he's always doing this, and then he's over here, and this one comes in, and then this one comes in, and then this one comes in. It makes a whole. Well, that's the way intercessors are. God calls on them. As the conductor sees fit, he calls on them to stand in the gap or stand on the wall or whatever you want to call it. All right? Since we've been praying about the Lord raising up an army of intercessors, he has brought a couple of people up to me, 2 women. They, just like us, are playing their part in this symphony. I personally believe that we are in the play we are in today because of the intercessors. In other words, God would not have been able to do what he needed to do at this time in history if his intercessors had not awakened and started standing in the gap and praying. All right, I will also show in the book of Revelation that this is so. This is Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And this is a vision. Daniel's vision. The angel said, seal up to the time of the end. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the other elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. How did that happen? He was able to open the book because of the prayers of the saints. They could advance. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Hast made us unto our God kings and priests, we shall reign on the earth. This is ushering in the 1,000-year millennial reign. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Then he proceeds to open the seals in chapter 6. Are you suffering and shedding tears over the agony you're going through, being a part of all this? Well, God sees those tears as we see in this chapter. He collects them. I tell you, he's had plenty from me in the last month or two. There is a day coming, though, he will wipe away all tears from our eyes. Moving heaven, changing earth. This is Revelation 17. We're going to start with verse 1 there. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth had committed fornication. The inhabitants of the earth had been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Upon her head was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and I saw her, I wondered, with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet is. And here is the mind that hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. We all know that's Rome, Vatican. There are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition. The 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he said unto me, The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For he hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. The woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So God is taking them out. God is taking them out. Nothing can stop what is coming. It didn't matter what the Democrats did Tuesday. Nothing can stop what is coming. God's going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. Gideon's army. I believe these are the intercessors. Gideon's army. We are as intercessors or as instruments, or we're instrumental in issuing in the kingdom age. Lord, make me an instrument. The prayer of the intercessors build up such force. Each prayer may be a drip, but over time it builds up in intensity, and then the dam, the stronghold of the enemy, comes down, just like Jericho. You know, I think the prayers just continue to build, to build, to build, because God catches those tears. He catches the prayers, if you will. There's not any prayer that he forgets. Oh, thank you, Lord. Have you ever said, Lord, are we really making any difference at all? You know, it's just the three of us. I'm telling you, nothing can stop what's coming. All right, we're going to look at Nehemiah. God shall wipe all tears . There won't be any more crying. I will tell you a background to this. Over 30 years ago, one night, I was up all night, and the Lord was speaking to me about the book of Nehemiah, and I didn't really understand it at that time, but I do now. This is what I put down yesterday. It's the building of the spiritual house. See, Nehemiah is going to build the wall in Jerusalem that's been broken down from the Babylonian exile, from what I understand. All right, let's read the first chapter. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, the Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days, and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. See, they stood in the gap. He's praying like we've been hearing for a few years now, people talking about we need to repent for the blood, even though we've not done an abortion. We've not been a part of adrenochrome harvesting or organ harvesting and all the horrible things that they've done to humanity. But as a people, we have to repent for their sins. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. You know, if we'd have been on the wall, if we'd have been watching, if we'd have been doing what we were supposed to do as the church, none of it would have happened. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. If you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out unto the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, to the prayer of the servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I am the king's cupbearer. So if you want to read the rest of that, we'll read some in chapter 4 here in a minute. But he goes before the king, and the king grants him, and I guess finances him to go and start rebuilding the wall. All right, MAGA, a warning. Stay on the Trump team. the Jesus team. I don't care who steps out against him and says anything against him, whether it be DeSantis, Candace Owens, or whoever. I don't care. You stay on MAGA. That's the Jesus team. Some have infiltrated the ranks to cause division and strife, so stay on course. Don't be moved by that. And it could be they're just playing a part to flush out some of the ones that say they are MAGA and are not. All right. Now go over to Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 17. Now when Nehemiah got there, he assembled a group to begin to rebuild the wall, but they had all kinds of attacks of the enemy. This is verse 17. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens with those that laid it, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. Is that the way you feel today? For the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from the other. See, we think we've been out here by ourselves, but no, there's others. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. So he labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So it's 24/7, 24-hour call. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that everyone put them off for washing. They didn't take time to comb their hair, brush their teeth, change their garment. They stayed in the same old clothes that they got so ripe, the washerwomen said, we can't stand it anymore. God is restoring America and the nations of the world through this movement. This isn't just the USA, this is the whole world. He's got us people all over the world. Now let's go back to Ezekiel 37. Where are you, Ezekiel? There you are. Get another drink here. All right, Ezekiel 1:37-1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say to them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these dry bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. And he said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dry and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into that land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, which I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Moreover, son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. When the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. And the sticks whereof thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people. I will be their God. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them, and they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, their children's children forever, and my servant David shall be their prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God. They shall be my people, and the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. This is a millennial reign we're talking about here. David is Jesus there. David's fallen tents built up. All right. Revelation 11. When I was reading that, this passage or this chapter just really kind of came to light to me. And there was given me a reed like a rod, and the angel stood saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are my two witnesses and the two candlesticks standing before the God of all the earth. That's Zechariah 4:2-6. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceeded out of their mouth and devoured their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overtake them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the city, which spiritually is Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood up on their feet. When I was reading that about Ezekiel and the dry bones of people that were standing up and, you know, their feet, they got up on their feet, dead bones. That's what I saw. They stood up. They were dead, but they stood up. I'm telling you, this is symbolic. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up in heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour there was a great earthquake. The tenth part of the city fell, and the earthquake were slain of men. 7,000, the remnant were frightened and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past, and behold, the second woe is coming, or the third woe is coming. The seventh angel sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. Amen. Now we know in Ezekiel, those weren't literal, those were not literal people rising up. Ezekiel was seeing a vision. It's the same way with this chapter. And the 24 elders which sat before God on his thrones fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that thou shouldest give reward unto the servants, the prophets, unto the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them that destroyed the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven. There was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. There were lightnings and voices and thunders and an earthquake and great hail. See, intercessors are moving heaven, changing earth. One more scripture. Back to Daniel chapter 10. We've already read Daniel 10, 1, 2, and 3. We're going to pick up with verse 4. And in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Ephaz. His body was like the beryl, his face as the appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, his arms and his feet like the color of polished brass. The voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption. I retained no strength. Yet I heard, the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. Behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. When he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. When he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. Behold, one of the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips, and opened my mouth, and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, but by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. You see the way he feels? I'm noticing how he's just no strength. I mean, he's just wore out. Just wore out. For how can the servant of my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man. He strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now, will I return to fight with the prince of Persia? And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. I know you're weary today. I felt the same. But we've got to draw upon the strength of the Holy Spirit to do this. Let's don't just do it to do it. Let's do it because the Spirit is leading us to pray. I believe when we let the Holy Spirit lead us, then we'll have the grace and the strength to intercede and to see it through. I hope that gives you all a little better picture of intercessory prayer and what all it entails. It's not just praying a quick prayer. It's however long it takes. If it means you don't eat, if it means, well, I'm not going to take my shower today, whatever it means for you, that we see it through to the end.